The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Game Changer. Rico Nasty has never been one to hide who she is in the booth, on the stage, or on the street, flaunting fashion. Born Maria Cecilia Simone Kelly, Rico first emerged on the music scene nearly 7 years ago when she was still only a high school junior. Now at 23, she has an album, Nightmare Vacation, under her belt and has introduced a new wave of screamo and rap music collaborations to the industry. The Maryland native has always been recognized for her natural ability to push the envelope and embrace the unexpected when it comes to her styling. Whether she is bending heteronormative gender standards through fashion or grunging it out with a femme flair, here some of our fave Rico fashion sirs. Number 1, Pressing Me. Rico kept it classy yet sexy at the second annual Pornhub Awards before performing her 2018 hit, Smack A Blank. She hit the red carpet in a custom dress from the Matthew Reisman collection, featuring double peplum details at the hip and a nude sheer split down the front. The gown was paired with a Chanel necklace featuring diamond and pearl details. Number 2, Rolling Loud Rage. While tearing up the stage at 2019's Rolling Loud Bay Area Festival in Oakland, she was styling and profiling while performing hits like Counting Up and Tia Tamara. Rico wore a multicolored satin scarf with white clouds and femme faces, styled as a head wrap. For her finishing touch, she paired slim sunglasses and a chain with locks for a 50s vintage meets punk rapper vibe. Number 3, White Dress OG. Rico put her own spin on the definition of classic white for the 2019 BET Awards, wearing a strapless mini dress reminiscent of a collared shirt and featuring standout asymmetrical sleeves. The rapper accessorized this look with a small lime green purse, VR proportioned orange and lime sunglasses, and platinum inches nearly down to the ground. Number 4, FOMOFR. The OHFR rapper brought her talents and her inventive fashion sense down under when she traveled to Melbourne, Australia to perform in FOMO Festival 2020. Her K Hawaii Geds wear cropped shirt matched the pink and black lining of the boy shorts that peaked from her leather pants with metal ring accents. The next article is titled, A New Narrative. As the first South African woman to have a lead role in an American TV series, Thuso Mbedu sheds new light on the stories of the enslaved. It was a 10th grade drama class that gave actress Thuso Mbedu the unexpected confirmation that she was on the right career path. Though acting was a full 180 degrees from the dermatology career she'd initially considered, when a poem she recited on exam day moved her listeners to tears, Mbedu was both astonished and awakened. That was the moment when I realized that there is more to this than I understand, she says, from her new home of Los Angeles. Acting is a tool for change, and I fell in love with it and just ran with it. Soon the world will witness Mbedu's talents via her breakout roles as Cora Randall in Barry Jenkins' The Underground Railroad, a limited series based on Pulitzer Prize-winning author Colson Whitehead's novel, which streams on Prime Video. The part makes the 29-year-old the first South African woman to play the lead role in a TV series in the United States. Underground isn't your usual slave narrative, thanks to Whitehead's thorough research of the oral history archives of the formerly enslaved and Jenkins' spot-on casting. The series follows Cora's quest for freedom in the antebellum South after she escaped her Georgia plantation to travel the Underground Railroad with her partner, Caesar. Together, they discover an actual railroad with entry points underneath a network of safe houses that are full of conductors and engineers who lead many to safety. Along the way, Cora dodges a bounty hunter obsessed with her recapture, fights against the realities of life on the plantation, and deals with the impact of eugenics and sterilization on freedmen and women. I had 2 solid months of prep, Mbedu says. I'd done a little bit of my own research while in South Africa to get acquainted with the subject matter. I realized that as Africans, we have an idea of what we think the experience was like for the black body in America at that time, but then I realized that we actually have no clue. We have no idea. We think we empathize. We think we sympathize, but because we have no idea, we are not touching the surface of what the reality was. Being part of this excites me because it gives me an opportunity to educate my people on the reality and the truth of slavery. That self-awareness offers insight into Mbedu's focus and intentionality as an actress. And the world is watching. In 2018, she received her 2nd of the 2 consecutive International Emmy Award nominations for her role as Winnie in the South African teen drama I'm Not Acting for the Sake of Being on TV, she explains. I'm doing it to build a voice that can help people in the future. Even with the characters that I chose, they are people who have to be strong, who are saying something that is adding value to people's lives. As for what audiences can expect come May 14th, when Underground debuts, Mbedu says her role is the latest test of how far she can push herself and best serve her character. It was affirming on set when Barry would constantly say, "I trust you. You are here because I trust you. I have to step up. I can't drop the ball, you know." South Africa as a whole is waiting to see me represent them as a country. The next article is titled, "Ladies Mic: Whether Delivering Stand-Up Lines, Smooth Lyrics, or Sharp Commentary, These Talents Are Slowly Turning the Entertainment Industry into a Black Woman's World." Black women have gone from demanding a seat at the table to commanding attention as some of the leading voices in entertainment. As social media continues to level the playing field by providing greater access and opportunity for aspiring talents, these women have taken advantage of such tools and risen to the top in their respective categories of the industry. And they're not just there to be seen, they have something to say, be it on a podcast, via a streaming service, or in a studio. These ladies are carving space for their opinions to be heard and for the kaleidoscopic experiences of Black women to be acknowledged. Nina Parker, TV host. Nina Parker's career is the definition of started from the bottom and now I'm here. Beginning as an intern and later working as a production assistant, Parker made her way to a breakout opportunity as a writer and producer from behind the scenes. While she was at TMZ, founder Harvey Levin taped her to be on camera, recognizing her talent and that she was an important representation of everyday women. Beyond hosting reality TV reunions and serving red carpet commentary during award season, Parker has facilitated critical conversations around voting and racial inequality for Bravo TV's Black Women led Race in America specials, never one to hold her tongue on E! Nightly Pop. Parker keeps that same energy on Twitter when it comes to standing up for Black women. Sylvia Obell, podcast host, one half of Netflix's strong Black lead podcast called Okay, Now Listen. Sylvia Obell is a former producer and correspondent for BuzzFeed News, flagship morning show AM to DM, which was nominated for a Shorty Award for Best Live News Coverage. While working at the digital media company, the entertainment journalist with bylines across BuzzFeed, Bustle, and Essence helped develop the unapologetically Black pop culture Twitter show Hella Opinions, which she also hosted. Known for saying what everyone else is thinking, Obell has gained hosting gigs with major brands and TV networks such as H&M, CBS, and BBC by voicing her views. With every booking, the girlfriend in our head reminds us being hella opinionated can also be hella fun. Scotty Beam, podcast host. Bronx born Scotty Beam got her start in media as a producer on the Hot 97 radio show Ebro in the Morning, before becoming a vocal advocate for Black women as one of the co-hosts of Revolt TV's talk show State of the Culture. While she was busy flipping her mastery of social media into partnerships with brands like Nike, Google, HBO, Spotify, Twitter, and Verizon, the model's love for the mic never left her. Beam has narrated the 3-part podcast series Flipping the Game, which tells the story of the first women's athletic shoe, and hosted the after show for Netflix's streamed rap competition Rhythm Plus Flow. Currently, she's one of 5 co-hosts of the Black Girl podcast and the other half of the bi-weekly podcast. Okay, Now Listen, alongside Obell. Flo Milli, rapper. Atlanta may currently be the mecca of rap, but this self-professed bad, ill, you know what, from Bama, has turned the world's gaze to another southern city. Flo Milli wrote her first song at 9 years old, began rapping at age 11, and booked her first show at 16. Now 21, the Mobile native is signed to RCA Records and already gained a BET Hip Hop Award nomination for Best New Artist. After releasing her first track, Beef Flow Mix, in 2018, Flo Milli went viral on TikTok less than a year later thanks to her animated delivery of cutthroat lyrics that prove she's not to be played with. Her debut mixtape released last summer was a critical success, and her first track of 2021, Roaring Twenties, reached more than 250 million streams within weeks. Sam J, comedian. Sam J is as masterful when crafting lines for others as she is delivering her own. At 29, she decided to pursue stand-up comedy full-time. 6 years later, the Emmy nominee became Saturday Night Live's only Black lesbian writer. Jay made her Netflix debut on the comedy lineup in 2019 and landed her own one-hour comedy special on the streaming platform titled Sam J, 3 in the Morning, just 1 year later. Not limited to one mic, Jay also released a comedy album, Donna's Daughter. It captured attention with its mixtape feel and was named one of the best comedy albums of 2018 by Vulture. Jay has written for the Emmy Awards and the MTV Movie and TV Awards. This May, she is set to host her own weekly late-night show on HBO. Victoria Monet, singer-songwriter. Victoria Monet is your favorite singer's favorite songwriter. While co-writing hits like Chloe X Halle's Do It and Ariana Grande's Seven Rings, Monet earned Grammy nominations for Best R&B Song and Record of the Year, with a third and coming for Album of the Year for her work on Thank You, Next. During that time, the multi-dimensional singer also released 4 EPs of her own before premiering the first of 3 parts of her debut project, Jaguar, which was named one of the top albums of 2020 by NPR and the Associated Press. As a queer Black woman, Monet explores gender constructs, femininity, and sexuality in her music, with a goal of empowering women in particular to feel sexually liberated and wholly comfortable in their own bodies. The next article is titled, The House That Rhythm and Blues Built. The National Museum of African American Music in Nashville showcases more than 50 music genres created and influenced by Black artists. The very soul of American music is the result of centuries of influence by Black folks. Now, everyone can explore the enormous impact of our contributions at the National Museum of African American Music in downtown Nashville. The 56,000 square foot facility showcases more than 50 genres of music, from spirituals to R&B, created and inspired by African Americans. It is the only institution of its kind dedicated to preserving and celebrating that extraordinary legacy. Music is the lived experience of the people, reflects Dina Bennett, PhD, the curatorial director of NMAAM. This music is American music. It is part of our American identity, and it's also the result of the outgrowth of the expressiveness of people's lives and what has happened to them, the experiences they had, both the good and the bad. NMAAM includes 7 galleries that immerse visitors in a historical timeline, revealing the evolution of Black music through artifacts, memorabilia, and technology. Visitors begin their journey in the Roots Theater, where they have given an RFID bracelet that allows them to engage with various interactive stations throughout the exhibit. Guests can join the Bobby Jones Gospel Choir in the Wade in the Water Gallery, create a blues song in the Crossroads exhibit, learn choreography from different musical eras, or produce a hip-hop beat in a display room called The Message. The bracelet also records each interaction for visitors to download later and share on social media. Since opening in January, the museum has partnered with major corporations to amplify its educational mission. Amazon donated $1 million toward field trips for students from local schools, and Sony and the museum are working on a Black music certification program. This is more than a museum, says Tuisha Rogers Simpson, Vice President of Brand and Partnerships at the museum. It is a cultural institution. We really want to be able to be a place where you can come and better understand Black music as far as entertainment and education. The title of the next article is Hot Atlanta, Lakeisha Holman Gives Entrepreneurs a Big Lesson in Economic Empowerment. She is magical. It's the kind of magic that has both the White House and a company like Target eager to partner with her in their efforts to revitalize the Black community and ensure the success of Black entrepreneurs. Lakeisha Holman, Ed D., affectionately nicknamed Dr. Key, landed in Atlanta, the city often referred to as the Black Mecca, 11 years ago, filled with hopes that had been too big for Batesville, the Mississippi town where she grew up. Being from a small town, you don't get to see a lot of the things that you dream, or you don't get to experience the stuff you see on television, she says, walking into her newly opened 17,000 square foot retail store. It's located in bustling Ponce City Market, a popular 2.1 million square foot mixed use development that's home to big retailers, a fitness facility, local boutiques, and restaurants such as Aisha Pinky Cole's new Bar Vegan. I also knew there was something more, Holman remembers, even if I didn't have an opportunity to experience it firsthand. I knew that there was life beyond the cotton fields and the gravel roads. What had been etched in me forever, before I could even birth the Village Market, was that Village is the catalyst to get anything done. Holman's sheer tenacity, which is cultivated during 15 years as an educator, starting as a high school English teacher and ending as a research specialist for the Georgia Department of Education, has transformed not only her life, but those of hundreds of Black entrepreneurs she's advocated for, partnered with, and mentored. In 2016, the 34-year-old social entrepreneur launched the Village Market, a company that works to create opportunities for Black entrepreneurs through providing business development, facilitating connections to investors, and hosting a quarterly marketplace where thousands of people shop from the featured businesses. The marketplace has become a huge hit, garnering attention from celebrities, politicians, and major corporations. In partnership with Target, Essence tapped Holman in 2019 to curate the first ever Essence Plus New Voices Entrepreneurship Summit and Target Holiday Market. The Black business owners who have participated in the marketplace generated an average of $3,000 to $6,000 in sales within 5 hours. We have participated in several Village Market pop-ups, and each time we sold out our products, says Jermail Shelton, co-owner of Just Add Honey Tea Company, with his wife, founder and CEO, Brandy Shelton. When we needed a mentor to assist us in scaling our business, there was someone inside the Village Market. We needed help finding investors. There was someone inside the Village Market. Dr. Key has given us access to an amazing ecosystem. It hasn't been smooth sailing for the Village Market. However, while Holman was planning the first marketplace of 2020, the pandemic hit and everything was canceled. With the fate of so many businesses in her hands, she had to think quickly. A Federal Reserve Bank of New York cited a study by a University of California economist, which estimated a 41% decrease in the number of Black business owners across the country in April 2020, compared to a 17% decrease of white business owners due to the pandemic. But even as this information was being released, Holman was busy creating the Buy Black in August campaign, which helped Black businesses sell $1.8 million in goods, and that's on top of the $2.7 million generated in part by the Village Market's seasonal marketplace. Holman is now expanding her vision beyond her southern roots. White House Senior Advisor for Public Engagement Trey Baker asked the entrepreneur to facilitate a national listening session for Black businesses. I selected 13 businesses across the country that represented different aspects of Black entrepreneurship, and we spoke directly to Ambassador Susan Rice and Public Engagement Director Cedric Richmond, Holman says. When policies are being created for Black businesses on the national stage, I want them to see the plethora of Black businesses they should have in mind. The next article is called Steel Magnolias. Black women entrepreneurs are on the rise in the South. In 1995, Andre 3000 stood on the stage at the Source Awards and declared, "The South got something to say." Today, Black women business owners in the South are saying it clearly. Despite persistent obstacles, being underfunded and shut out of access to capital, lacking resources, and facing racial and gender discrimination, they are fiercely shattering glass ceilings and forging their way to extraordinary success. Atlanta is home for many of these women. By now, you have heard of the force that Aisha Pinky Cole, founder of the Pinky Cole Foundation, and the vegan empire Slutty Vegan and Bar Vegan. Meanwhile, Jewel Burks Solomon left Google, started a company, and sold it to Amazon. Now the managing partner at Collab Capital, she is back at Google as the head of Google for startups in the U.S., ensuring that capital isn't barrier to other entrepreneurs. Solomon recently led the team responsible for Google for Startups Black Founders Fund and awarded 76 Black entrepreneurs cash awards up to $100,000. Many of the recipients were Black women entrepreneurs in the South, like Courtney Anderson with Vibe Ride, Jasmine Crow, and Tiffany Gatlin with Latched and Hooked Beauty. Ashley M. noticed that Black creators didn't have a place to gather in Savannah, so she will fix that by opening a coffee shop for them this summer. And over in New Orleans, the crayon case mogul Raynell Super Scent Steward is making huge waves with her brand. The next article is titled The Soul of Charleston, South Carolina. Support local artisans and enjoy a glass of wine. See Sweetgrass Baskets created by award winner Mary Jackson at Gibbs Museum of Art. Make an appointment to check out unique pieces at Steve Hazard Studio and Art Gallery and shop one of the oldest public markets in the U.S., the Charleston City Market. After an art-filled day, unwind at Graft, a wine shop and bar by acclaimed sommeliers Femi and Miles. We have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Ava Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.